Bitcoin just radically shifted into something completely different than it's been before. It'll likely never be the same again. But what happened? How did we know this was going to happen? And what's going to happen to Bitcoin in the future? Glad you asked. I'd be happy to explain. All right, so if you're a user of Bitcoin, or if you've seen anything on X, Twitter, whatever they call it, you'll know that Bitcoin has gotten astronomically more expensive to use recently. Average fees, $50 or more. Even lower fees are into the $10 and more. It just got really expensive to use Bitcoin, and very few people are able to do so economically, especially for, you know, regular payment purposes, which is what it's for, right? It's digital money. This is largely because of ordinals, or basically NFTs or stuff like that on the Bitcoin chain. There's been a recent explosion in these, and people have been minting all kinds of on-chain collectibles and goodies on Bitcoin, and that has caused fees to skyrocket. Of course, there's some nuance on whether the high fees are people paying to actually do transactions or the ordinals, but the ordinals have definitely hit that limit of Bitcoin scaling where now it's starting to push everyone else into this hugely high fee environment in order to use it. There's a lot of fighting and consternation and all that about this that I'll go into in a little bit. But basically, this is the other side of the coin of Bitcoin's security dilemma that came from the restricted 1 megabyte block size. That basically, if Bitcoin is cheap enough for people to use, the network doesn't have the money to run and stay secure. But if Bitcoin does have the money to run and stay secure through high fees, then it is not economical for everyday people to use. We were just in that first scenario. Now we're in the second one, and it's, you know, shaking things up. Earlier this year, I did a video on Bitcoin security ticking time bomb. I pointed out that Bitcoin would need to increase the block size, add a tail emission, scale on second layers which paid layer one miners, or substantially increase average transaction fees. It looks like Bitcoin is going in that last direction. So what happened to the Lightning Network? This was supposedly what Bitcoin was going to use primarily to not have to scale on-chain for everything, to be able to keep low fees even in a high capacity kind of environment without increasing the main network block size. Well, turns out Lightning breaks pretty well under a high fee environment. You see, Lightning is a patchwork of two-way channels. I have a little pot of money with you, and then you have a little pot of money with someone else, and we kind of route along those. But every kind of inconsistency in that path has to be fixed with an on-chain transaction, meaning Lightning doesn't just make you not have to use Bitcoin. It means that you have to use it fewer times, but still a whole lot. In fact, a lot of the reasons why Bitcoin maximalists especially were able to trust Lightning and advocate for it as a solution is that it requires so much touching of the actual core protocol that people were able to think, oh, it could be decentralized enough. It is still using Bitcoin enough. But yeah, during this high fee environment, it's not going to be very cheap to use Lightning. And arguably, it never was going to end up that way. I predicted this as well. Over a year ago, I did a video on how Lightning would end up more expensive because of its capital and on-chain transaction requirements. Now we're seeing Lightning providers introduce huge fees, including for liquidity. Someone has to pay those bills. Now there's talks of another Bitcoin fork, of a split in the chain between the Bitcoin the way it is today and Bitcoin that can't have these ordinals transcriptions, that can't have these large data transactions, and is just for payments. And it's kind of between two camps. It's the ordinals people, or the build on Bitcoin, do a bunch of big things, versus the people who want to run their own node, make their own little payments, all this kind of stuff. At least those who are left over since Bitcoin's initial block size constraint chased a lot of the digital cash people, like myself, off to other chains. Now, do I think that a fork will happen? No, probably not. For the simple reason that people who cared about Bitcoin's usability, as I mentioned, in previous years have migrated to other projects and are busy doing that. There's only a certain segment of people who really wanted to use only Bitcoin, would not entertain anything else. but, and we're okay with those high fees where, you know, several dollars to send a transaction, but they're not okay with these astronomically higher fees. Those people are upset. But most of the small block camp was already going towards off-chain transactions anyway, which is where things are being pushed now with these hugely high fees. And so there's not really much room for, well, you know, small block, but just the way I like it, people. And most importantly, as I'm sure you've seen, with all this money pouring into miners, pouring into everything, it makes a lot of economic sense to let this kind of trend continue for all the actors in the ecosystem, except for people who explicitly have businesses built on cheap on-chain Bitcoin transactions, which, as I pointed out before, is not something that is really around Bitcoin itself anymore. So I personally just don't believe there will be a fork. But please link this video and comment to me if I'm wrong to tell me I was wrong on that prediction. One of, in my opinion, craziest but also most obvious kind of things that come out of this whole situation is that the Liquid network has become touted as the next layer two solution for Bitcoin. Now, this is pretty funny because Liquid was sort of a sideshow to the Lightning network for many years, and most people kind of like made fun of it, said no one's using this, this is a joke, whatever, and they pushed Lightning as the truly decentralized, cypherpunk way of actually scaling Bitcoin, the righteous path. And now that Lightning got broken with on-chain fees, Liquid, which doesn't require that same thing, you just can peg in your Bitcoin, and then everything else that happens in Liquid doesn't need any kind of on-chain transactions, just going in and out of Liquid. So now Liquid's being pushed as this next solution that we should all be using. So really quick, what is Liquid? Liquid is a federated sidechain. Sidechain meaning another chain sort of parallel to Bitcoin that does all that's completely separate but is tied to it. And federated, as opposed to decentralized or permissionless, meaning it's run by a federation of companies. So no one company, but still a bunch of companies all participate in making sure it runs and who can join that federation and deal with pegging Bitcoin in or out of the system. It was created by Blockstream. And one specific feature of it, other than, you know, lower fees than the on-chain, is confidential transactions, which adds a little extra privacy to transactions. Tinfoil hat time. Blockstream was a very important company early on in Bitcoin's history, but not because they did anything that regular people in Bitcoin use, but because they were a strong figure in the anti-big block, also known as the anti-white paper originalism, right? Camp of Bitcoin's history. And they had a lot to do with shaping Bitcoin into what it was today, which coincidentally seems to require exactly the kind of product and service that their company financially benefits from providing. So maybe, just maybe, this is all working out according to plan from some financially invested actors who did not want anyone to be able to just use Bitcoin. They wanted to have them go through them first and feed their bottom line first. Just maybe. Blockstream, whose profit model has been layer two solutions on Bitcoin, hired at least 11 different Bitcoin core developers and very well may have financed social media AstroTurf campaigns and censorship to keep Bitcoin's block size from increasing, so it would have to scale on layer two networks. It's a long rabbit hole, but go snooping around in the BTC subreddit if you want to kind of find out more about all this. All right, so where does Bitcoin even go from here? So barring some serious structural changes to the protocol, which we all know are very difficult to come by in the Bitcoin world, we're moving in the direction of a custodial system where almost no one holds their own Bitcoin, or you might in your own safe, your own version of a safe, right, your cold storage, and then people economically transact in other things, in other layers, largely custodial, meaning a company or a person or whatever is managing that for you and can, you know, deny you access to it, for example. So it's moving in a direction that's custodial and permissioned and possibly even fractional reserve. So if you have Bitcoin and you run your own node, you can tell how much Bitcoin there is. It's all accounted for. you're 100% sure that this is a scarce currency, unlike fiat currency like the US dollar or whatever, which people can print on a whim. And for example, your bank, which operates under a fractional reserve model, doesn't have all the money that it should for everyone. It has a very small fraction of that, and they loan out the rest. So if there's a run on the banks, if too many customers ask for their money, then they don't have it and the bank collapses. If Bitcoin is run through a transparent system where you could see a whole bunch of Bitcoin in a bridge or something like that, or a pegging mechanism to some other thing, and that other thing is transparent as well, and you can make sure anyone can audit that those balances are accurate, that they cancel each other out, then that's okay. But a lot of services, like, let's say, Wallet of Satoshi, everyone's favorite custodial and censorable, right? Bitcoin Lightning Network wallet provider. How do we know that they have all the Bitcoin that they claim that you have as a customer? How do we know that they don't create some extra and send it to people in there? We don't really know, and we just have to trust them that the balances that show up on each user's interface, each user's app, lines up with the actual balance on the blockchain. And this is going to become an increasing problem over time as long as we have to rely on custodial services, which is the direction Bitcoin's going. Kind of like what happened with gold. How much gold backing is there actually behind these paper notes? And then there's no gold at all eventually. I gotta say, Satoshi is rolling in his grave. Satoshi Nakamoto, Bitcoin's creator, envisioned a peer-to-peer electronic cash system that would allow anyone to transact without third-party intermediaries with each other. That's the entire point of cryptocurrency. And now we're moving very distinctly away from that in his own creation of Bitcoin. Very sad times indeed if you cared about Bitcoin's original mission and were an early Bitcoin user, as I was. But that doesn't mean that Bitcoin's going anywhere. Personally think, again, you can call me on this if I'm wrong, but I personally think that Bitcoin will be around for a long time after this. Maybe 5 more years on top of the cryptocurrency world, maybe even 10. I also don't predict that the price will crash as a result of this unfortunate situation. I think Bitcoin's gotten too much adoption and integration into existing financial systems and is kind of seen as an easy institutional thing for people to buy into, where they get to just have exposure to Bitcoin, and then they get to do all the old legacy finance stuff on top of it, and they don't have to integrate into this whole technical world. And so because all the institutions in the world want some sort of a stable asset, like a gold, like a digital gold in this case, I think that probably the price will keep going up for another few years at least. It's just not useful for its original purpose of permissionless, censorship-resistant transactions. Better digital cash alternatives exist all over the place. I use Dash a whole lot. Monero is a great one. Zcash, Litecoin, Bitcoin Cash, you can't forget. Ecash, Nano, whatever. And there's new ones being created all the time. If you care about Bitcoin's original mission, don't worry. There's lots of things for you to use. You don't have to give up on that vision and that dream. It's just not really alive in Bitcoin for much longer. Satoshi's dream lives on in Bitcoin's children. Bitcoin may not be what ends up setting us free, but that's okay.